session number 22076, Reel 8.
Frank Rosier, Reel 8. So, did you have any contact with any other troops from other countries? You know, did you have any opinions about how good or bad or useless or
whatever? Oh no, the Yanks were always bloody useless. I mean, that was red.
Oh yeah.
Over here, overpaid, you know, etc. And while we were there, often Jerry would fire over propaganda leaflets, which came down, or a plane would drop them, and they would tell us what the Yanks were doing to our girls over here, and you know, all that sort of rubbish, and often happened. And
Did you believe that?
No. Yeah, we knew what was going on, but not to the extent that the Yanks were there. I mean, you take the girls that left the home. I mean, I laughed today again when I'm in Portsmouth, the Navy boys, and the wives come, he's been away 6 months, you know. I mean, some of them boys were away 6 years, you know. I mean, the girls were home working in ammunition. Well, I mean, things were bound to happen, for want of a better word. And though the Yanks were not Portsmouth, I don't know if you know, was the British Navy. Southampton was the American Navy. Never the twain would meet.
Really?
Oh, they fight like devils.
Yeah.
They would fight like hell. The story in Portsmouth is the ship coming in, the British ship was coming in, and it was pretty beat up. And the Americans ran up a signal. Where'd you dig that up? That came the signal, Pearl Harbor. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I think the Navy were more anti-Yank than we were.
Did you manage to keep in contact with the family at home while you were in Europe? Did you write letters?
We got our first letter. It's not in this lot. It is in that lot. We got our first mail, and our regional representative, who was also in the DLI, never believed me till I showed it to him in the war diaries. We never got any contact from home into August.
Really?
2 months.
You got no
letters? No letters. Were coming up to us. Others units got them fairly quickly. We were constantly right home. I explained, the dear mother, it's a bag of letters. And virtually you crossed out things. There were longer ones which you could write, you know, but who had a pencil? Who had a watch, in fact, in them days?
Really?
You know, I mean, very few of us had any watches. But communication with home was pretty... I mean, that first part, ammunition came ashore. And you can't... I think I mentioned about water, that we were so short of water. Though the country similar to ours, we couldn't drink it, polluted.
Because the water carriers were trundling up behind, weren't they?
Did they
catch up with you very often?
Yeah, but then sometimes they couldn't get to us because it was too dangerous. So generally, rainwater. We were told not to drink, but my golly, when you're thirsty, you'll drink anything. And you come to particularly a running stream. Again, the benefit of being in the West Country Regiment, they say, that'd be safe, boy. You know, and where they talk down there. But
what did they think of you as the Cockney?
Oh, great fun.
Did they take the mickey out of you?
Oh, I took the mickey out of them. I mean, it was, you know, it was. You know, I just loved it. I think the benefit of being a Londoner, and I'm not boasting, is you get this cosmopolitan attitude. You can deal with most people. And I love people. I mean, no other answer to it. And I believe if people see they get under your skin, they do it all the more. But so you don't let them get under your skin.
Yeah, that's true. So what do you think what are the mental scars of wartime? I mean, did you have nightmares when you came back?
No. I've never ever dreamed about war. Ever. I think it's because somewhere in the mind I completely shut it off. Though I talk about it.
But you talk about it in quite a detached way,
actually. I mean, I was no hero. It sort of sounds big-headed. But people talk to me, people who knew me out there, and said Frank was a good soldier. And I hate that. And I, mental scar, I laid my chum Tony, and we often travel all over the world together, and invariably we talk about Normandy. And he said, Frank, he said, son, it bothers you, doesn't it? Tony, I said, the fact that when it come to killing, I could do it. I said, and it does to this day. And I think, what sort of person am I? Without any thought.
You know, being trained and brainwashed.
There's a little bit more in there. A little bit more than that. I do think, you know, I think to be a commando and they go in and with a knife, you've got to be a little bit crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not balmy, but to be able to do that. Yeah. I mean, the lad I killed, Evans, I mean, he had no chance.
No, but I mean, it was just who was the quickest on the draw, wasn't it?
Yeah, cowboy stuff.
Yeah, really.
I think if I'd have said hands out, he might have put his hands out. Mm. But he got no chance.
But you couldn't risk that.
I gave him no chance. But he was...
Yeah. He was going crisscross.
I mean, yeah, voice the right way. That's the right side, and your trigger and your finger comes there to the trigger. That's right. Grab the tuck and finger comes there.
He was left-handed.
Yeah. Well, he was. Yeah, possibly. You know. But he's on the wrong side. I know he's trying to get it. He's gone. Mm. He's on the wrong side. Mm. But if he'd have gone like that, and that ability to come up that hill, that Thurio Cor, and you know, right you, you know, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And.
But that's what war does to people, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
But
that bothers me. You know, I mean, I think the artillery, the Air Force, infantry 20, 30 yards away, it's remote. But that time you come face to face with somebody, that bothers me to this day, that I could do that. A streak of cruelty.
I don't think it's your streak of cruelty. I think it's the way you were trained.
Mm.
I wouldn't worry about that.
Oh, I do?
Yeah, don't.
Mm. I know it's in me.
I think we've all got it.
And, you know, off the side again, quickly, there was a Polish boy, Chad Bolski. He was in a pub just after the war. He was a Marine commando. And he was set upon by some louts. And in defending himself, he killed one. To cut a long story short, they hung him. They hung him as an example to us coming out of war. That was actually said. I mean, we wrote petitions. There was big petitions going to the Home Office to save the lad, and they hung him as an example. I could hear the, you know, hear those words today.
Maybe they felt that there were so many people coming back who had killed people. Mm. Maybe they needed to. It's a readjustment, isn't it? Because you had time in hospital to readjust.
Readjust, yeah. But I'm still in a nasty piece of work even there. Yeah, Wes Garner.
So you say, yeah.
Wes Garner, all these years later, Marine Commando again. He ran the South Sea Orchestra. He's gone blind, poor devil now. He was going home from the post. I worked for the post, I think I said. And he was going home from Portsmouth Post Office before they did what it is down there. And across the road was a pub with a toilet. He thought, well, I'll pop in the toilet. He went into this toilet. And these two yobs in there said, give us your money. What are we going to do? We're going to beat you up, or you're going to give us the money? He said, you better beat me up. When they called the ambulance and the police said, who do we arrest? Them two lying on the ground or you? Still, even nearly 60, he could take care of himself. And we all said that was great. But, I mean, he got cautioned. He got cautioned by the police for what he did.
Yeah.
He put them both in hospital. But, you see, that's still in us.
Yes.
And that ability to kill, what worries me, you know, without any compunction, it's still there.
Right. Okay. Well, it's been absolutely fascinating.
Oh, good. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, good.
As you say, I don't talk much personally. I think somewhere you got along the line the sheer horror of it. It is, you know.
Yeah.
And it bothers you.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much indeed. That's Frank Rosier, End of Reel 8.